Hello, career competitor. This is Steve Meller, as always, here to share with you some powerful conversation and some significant insights into what it means to optimize your career in pursuit of your optimal self. I am excited to be introducing our guest here shortly. But as always, let me draw your attention to careercompetitor.com, where you'll see right at the top of that homepage is a place where you can enter your email and become a part of my monthly subscription, my mid-monthly message, where I am just simply giving you that little nudge in the middle of the month to remember that whatever it was you set out to achieve with all that energy at the outset of the month, and whatever those lofty goals may be at the end of the month, that you're not going to lose sight of that journey in between. Become a part of my community today. Head to careercompetitor.com, enter your email, and look forward to my next mid-monthly message. Now, let's get right into the show. Hello there, and welcome into this episode of Career Competitor, where I welcome in my guest, Sierra Stockland, who I will be introducing properly in just a moment. But three things to be listening out for, amongst many other insights, courtesy of Sierra. Firstly, Sierra and I discuss how a clear end goal can help the filtering process of what it is you're covering in the moment. Secondly, we dive into why your support system must buy in to what you're trying to accomplish. And finally, we learn about the benefit of making difficult decisions in order to help you level up at any point in the process. So these three things and much more within this fantastic conversation with Sierra Stockland, and I hope you all enjoy. Okay, our career competitor today has been a serial entrepreneur for two decades, is an author, a speaker, and has made time to complete no fewer than three Ironmans. Our guest has established themselves as the missing piece your business might be looking for when it comes to figuring out cash flow problems. Amongst many career highlights, our guest launched the first-to-market wholesale subscription box for boutique retailers, which she built and sold within 18 months. Most recently, our guest began Inventory Genius, a coaching program for inventory-based business owners, which also happens to be the name of her best-selling book and her podcast. Our guest is also doing phenomenal things to represent small business owners like myself, having been recognized as a small business champion through SCORE, having held a seat on the United States Chamber of Commerce Small Business Council, and being a Profit First certified coach. It's fair to say our guest is a tried and tested competitor and doing empowering work both for themselves and many others. It's my pleasure to welcome in to Career Competitor, Sierra Stockland. Sierra, how are we doing?
I am doing so good. And I think I need you to rewrite my bio because you took a rather boring bio and really spiced it up there. That was fun to listen to.
It's just the accent. Let me tell you. but no, honestly, it's one of my favorite things about having someone like yourself on is just the diversity. I mean, anyone listening to that bio, it's entrepreneur, it's being available and volunteering your time to all these different individual endeavors and companies. And then obviously there's the whole physical side of things, which we'll definitely get to when it comes to the Ironman stuff. But I want to touch on something I mentioned there in the intro, you, the competitor. Like, for me, just to kind of lay the table out there for you, Sierra, I would love for you just to answer what is kind of an open question. You know, what does Sierra, the competitor, look like? What can you tell us about her?
Yeah, I would say, I'm very determined, obviously goal-driven. I really like to challenge myself to new things. And I finish what I start. So if I commit to doing something, I will do my very, very best to see it all the way through. Even if the end result isn't what I had anticipated it to be, I want to finish. I remember as a young girl, I would go garage sailing with my mom on the weekends. And I had this great idea. I always have a million ideas that I wanted to do some needlepoint, which if you know me now is like as far from anything I would ever do. I'm not crafty, but I decided I wanted to do this. I picked up this little kit and I started it and decided it was not for me. And my mom said, nope, you need to finish it. You started that. You need to finish it. And every day she would make me sit for a little bit of time and work on it. And I mean, you know, as a teenage girl, I was not too thrilled with that. But when I finished that project, I was so proud of myself for seeing it through, and I'll never forget that lesson. So to me, competition is finishing what you commit to starting.
I love that. And it's a first time answer as well. It's one of those questions I ask just about everybody in some way, shape, or form. And I actually love that. And I can't help but immediately see some form of, you know, just mirroring part into the entrepreneurial world, because talk about a world where people are willing to begin and slowly but surely the adversities that come with it give plenty of reasons to not necessarily see it through. So as I mentioned again there in the intro, you have this almost lifetime now of experience as an entrepreneur. How early in life did you realize that, hey, I think entrepreneurship could be my thing?
Yeah, I would say really early. I was always the kid with the lemonade stand, even though we lived at the end of a block and nobody came by except for the mailman. You know, I always had this dream of today I'm going to make $5 selling lemonade. I was the kid that put on little productions, would sell tickets to the neighbors. I started my first formal business when I was 13, and grew that, built that for over a decade. Had several other businesses I was running at the same time. And when it came time to go to college, so I finished my, you know, my high school journey, I just couldn't think of something that I wanted to pay for and then have someone tell me where I would sit and what I would do and what I just couldn't even think, what would that be? Instead, I thought, what problems are there that I could solve? Like what's not working, you know, in the retail space or in the theater space at the time? What could I solve? And then I'll just do that and figure out a way to monetize it. So I've always been very entrepreneurial.
Yeah. Seeing solutions. I mean, I want to go immediately there. That natural appetite, if you will, to truly say, hey, listen, not only do I see a problem, but I can't help but immediately think of solutions for said problem. Because a lot of the time people step into business because they see the problem and they say, hey, over time, let's see if we can be resourceful and start to consider and discuss what solutions might look like. But from what I'm hearing here, you're telling me that you almost took both steps at the same time as you stepped into entrepreneurship.
Yeah, I would say so. So with my first retail store in 2006, I knew I wanted that to be my next small business step. So I'm going to open a store, but what's the niche? How do I build a brand? Like, those are things that I like to think about when I start something. And I tell my clients and my entrepreneurs, you should always do something with the end in mind. And it doesn't mean that that end is going to happen the way that you're anticipating it, but you need to plan with the end in mind. So when I talk to entrepreneurs and I say, well, what's your goal with this in 5 years or 10 years? I don't know. I haven't thought of it. Well, let's think about it. Do you want to sell it? Are you looking to bring a family member in? Do you want to expand? Like, let's dream a little bit, because that then begins to be your filter for decision making. So that subscription box that I launched, I knew I didn't want to build another big inventory based business and have a warehouse and, you know, a massive team. I knew I wanted to sell it. And I knew that from the day I launched it. So that means when I decide what apps to bring in, what products to sell, the ease for the customer, I had a filter for that decision making, because I knew this is going to make it sellable. This won't make it as sellable. Here's what a buyer is going to want to look at. Here's what they're not going to want to look at. So thinking about where you want to be is so important when you start.
Yeah. The question for me immediately has to be around how you actually get someone comfortable with the notion of where they want to end up. Because most people are thinking like, hey, there's so much for me to consider just to simply get out the starting gates. Like Sierra, what are you talking about? 10 years from now? I can't even see myself what I'm going to do 10 hours from now. You know, so many entrepreneurs battle with that. So how do you help people just maybe take on what can actually seem quite a big question and give them maybe some tools and just approaches to answering that question that can make it a much simpler exercise?
Yeah, I like to tell people, like, let's just wave your magic wand. Don't think about money. Don't think about restrictions. Don't think about any of the things that wouldn't allow this to happen. If you could wave your magic wand, what does this look like to you? And it will take a couple times of them like, oh, but, you know, and I'll say, no. We're just going to wave our, and it's all going to happen. What does it look like? Like, let's talk about your schedule. Let's talk about the time in your week. If you could wave a magic wand, what does life look like to you? And it might take a few, you know, iterations, but then they might say, hey, I would just love to never have to work a weekend again. Okay, there we go. Now we have a bit of the end in mind. So as we build this and plan it, let's plan it around the thought that we're not going to work weekends anymore. And how do we get there? Because if we don't do that, we just start and then we find ourselves on this hamster wheel. There's no direction. And I think it's really funny because as entrepreneurs, we can dream a lot about a launch. We're really good about dreaming that through. But what comes after the launch of something?
Yeah. And I joke about this when I speak now is just, you know, my launch was like an Instagram post on a Friday night. And then I sat there all weekend thinking, all right, you've launched it now. Like what now, what do we do, Steve? Like what does a day of work look like? What does, you know, going through the process of vetting out a client look like? All these sort of things. And to your point, you build up all this energy and excitement around, hey, I'm about to tell the world that is my world, I'm starting something. And from what I'm hearing here is that as much as you want to invest the energy and obviously the excitement that comes with that, I love that you're sort of tailoring this towards don't necessarily get caught up in the business and the offering itself. What does life look like? What does life look like? And maybe this business one day becomes the center of that life. Maybe it doesn't. But I love that you're helping people see like, hey, this is as much about what you want this business to do for your life as it is just simply how this business should perform, if I'm hearing you right.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a completely different way to look at things, to make decisions, to carry on day to day, the people you keep on your team. Like it affects so many things when you think about things. I like to phrase it as intentional living. So intentional, everything is intentional, meaning that you've thought through the decision that you're making with a projected outcome. Instead of just going after it, you know, I'm going to open a store and they're just going to show up. We all say that that's not a great idea and then we all do it. So, you know, how can we get past that?
Yeah. So there's our first coaching connection right there in terms of some of the things we do. I talk about intentional action with my clients all the time because we always, you know, there's this old saying of nothing means anything without action. And I try to sort of reverse that and say, well, I'm going to push back on that and say, what if we were to invest more time in our intentions? What might our actions look like? And what might our willingness to act look like? And I'm hearing a lot of that certainly in what you're sharing here too, which is great. Now, I have to assume that this woman of intention at some point gravitated towards something like an Ironman and was able to say, okay, looking at this monster that is an Ironman, taking your very process with business of, hey, outcome in mind, finish in mind, you know, when you stepped into that world, how much of this approach that you apply in the professional space were you able to then lean on in that space?
Yeah, a lot. Yeah. So I was absolutely not an athlete in high school, college, nothing. Started running when I was in my 30s. And when I say running, I mean, I tried running down the block with a friend, couldn't catch my breath. I thought, well, what is this? But just slowly, you know, just got into the art of running. I love the running community. As you know, they can be so supportive, like whether you're doing a slow 5K, you're walking, or you're trying to get, you know, get to Boston, like every runner for the most part is very encouraging. So that world started to open up to me. Still had zero interest in long distance at all. So was training for sprint triathlons here and there, some 5K. I did a half marathon once, absolutely hated it. It was the worst race ever. I thought I'm never, ever doing anything even close to a 10K again. My husband had always wanted to do an Ironman. So that was on his radar. He talked about it. And I was like, absolutely, good for you. Great. I will be there to support you. When I saw him sitting on his bike, you know, at 4 a.m. for the next 6 hours on a Sunday or Saturday, I was like, you're nuts. No interest in this. He did his first Ironman. I was training for my PR 5K at the time. So I had gotten to more, even more running. And when I saw him complete the Ironman and just saw all of the people, every shape, every size, every age, every nationality, there was an 80-year-old man completing an Ironman. It was just amazing to see young people. I thought, okay, first, we can't have only one Ironman in the house. So if Jim's going to have the title, we better compete for that. But I thought, how could I take this and use it for my coaching to show that you truly can do what you set your mind to? And so for those reasons, I decided that I was going to go after my first Ironman event. I signed up for it, did my first Ironman in 16 weeks. So I went from 5K to full Ironman training. But when you ask like how that thinking and business translated, the first thing I did was fire my current coach. When I told him that I had signed up for an Ironman, he said, "What's the distance?" Which was very sarcastic. I'm like, "You know the distance." And then said, "We don't have enough time." And I thought, I can't have someone on my team that doesn't believe I can do it.
Absolutely.
I just can't. So I need a good coach. I want a female who has done an Ironman before. I need good equipment. And I'm going to commit to doing whatever my coach tells me to do. I will cross the finish line. And I never went into it with a parachute of, well, you know, it might be, I might not. Nope. I signed up for it. I'm crossing that finish line. And I think those three things, whether in business, in life, in sports, hiring the right people, having the right equipment, right, to do the job well, and then committing to finishing. Like, there's no parachute. There's no option to not finish. That just served me really well. And I did indeed finish my first one that I signed up for.
I love it. I love it. So many questions. My gosh. Like that is just the story that this podcast is all about, quite frankly. I mean, just to hear the commitment coming firstly from just something as simple as a spouse, you know, rivalry in the household, that part I love, and I can't help but, you know, just resonate with me and my wife's relationship. I don't think she'll ever be a distance person, but at the same time, now that she's heard me saying
you
that, maybe I just sparked a fire. Maybe I just did that. But what I love about this is that first and foremost, I want to get to the coach firing part, because I think this is an absolutely huge piece that we do not discuss enough on this show, quite frankly, is that support system. And what you've said here is that you created what most would see as kind of an outrageous goal, something that doesn't make sense to the average person, maybe to even more than the average person. So you needed someone in that finite group, that minority, that was going to hear a goal like that and say, sign me up. And I'm not going to tell you why you can't. I'm only going to give you the reasons why you can.
Yes.
And that is such a powerful resource. And I'm just curious, when you look back at that first 16 week block of training that you did, how important was that? Just to go a little bit deeper on that point.
Yeah. I mean, it was so important, because I knew that the coach that I had, I could trust her. She knew my goal. She knew it was crazy. I mean, I was training for 5Ks. Mm-hmm. So she knew it was crazy, but she said, "Hey, if we put this plan in place and if you follow the plan and you do what I tell you to do, we will get you across the finish line." And she never wavered in that. And I needed that, especially in those hard days where you're like, "Oh my goodness, there's no way. Like, there's no way. How am I going to run a marathon at the, I'd never run a marathon. How am I going to run a marathon at the end of this 100-mile ride that I just like?" But she said, "No, we can do it. Just keep following the plan." And that's so important. I think, you know, in business, a lot of times we can't believe where we need to be or where we'll end up with the right choices because we haven't done those things before. But a good coach has. They've seen their clients do that. And so they can hold that belief for us. And we need someone who can do that, because that's what's going to get us, you know, through those really tough days.
Yeah. And I just want to reiterate something you've said there. If it wasn't clear enough, I want to make it super clear, is that we can make these crazy goals sometimes and we can be so committed to them, but that does not mean at any point we can't be victim to not believing or having some doubt. Like, that is always a possibility that's going to creep in at any point. So simply having a support system, and just three characteristics there that you mentioned, this notion of trust, someone who's a little crazy, and someone who's consistent. Like, what a wonderful combination of just traits and attributes to have around you when you're going for something that is crazy. Because on those days where you don't feel quite as crazy, quite as ambitious as you initially were on the front end, you need someone to almost embody that for you, to take that very energy that you had at the beginning and be that fire of crazy and just simple ambition when you need it most on those hardest of days.
Yeah. I think I have a different coach now. So I finished my first Ironman and my coach was phenomenal. And that was her point, her purpose. Mm-hmm. Then I wanted to up it. I want to go to Worlds. I want to go to Kona. So I need a coach that will help me get to Kona, right? Because there's different people that we need at different points in our journey, in our life. So I have a different coach now. And I think with her, you know, I said, "Here's my goal." And she said, "We can do that. It's not going to probably happen this year, but we can get there. We can do that." And I think that's important too. Like, you want a coach that can say, "We need to be realistic. We'll do it, but it's not probably going to be the next Ironman, you know, where you qualify. But keep following the process, keep following the plan, put the work in. And that's really important too. So a lot of times as entrepreneur, it was hard, if you will, to, I don't want to say fire my first coach, my first Ironman coach, because she was phenomenal, but to move on from her, that was really, really hard because I loved her and she had helped me accomplish a goal. And so a lot of times we don't do those hard things because of how they might feel or how we would feel, but then we can't move on to that next step in our journey either. And so being willing to be courageous, to do what we know we need to do, my husband says to have courageous conversations, is really important as well. And I did make it to Worlds actually. So I've done 4 Ironman now. My 4th was Kona, which I did with my 18-year-old daughter. She also qualified.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. Well, how recent was this?
Last October.
Last October. Okay. Yeah. Wow. I mean, that is, as a father of a daughter who's only 4, we've got some time to work on our Ironman effort. That is a very, very special thing to be able to take on such a lifelong and truly life-altering experience. But to do it with someone like your daughter, I can't even imagine what that must have felt like.
It was amazing. It was so awesome to be able to train with her. So she'd also been at Jim's Ironman in Tulsa, his first, and her wheels were turning as well. She was 16 and thought, you know what? I want to do this. It looks crazy. I want to do this. And she was a swimmer. So the swimming, which a lot of people are most frightened of, you know, she was like, I got that covered. Of course, swimmers aren't runners. So that was her challenge.
I can attest to that.
Not a big fan of running. Yeah. Although I can't beat her anymore. She's getting too fast. But so while I was training, you know, just making my way, she was training for her first Ironman. She did Ironman Coeur d'Alene. And our goal and our thought was, let's try to qualify for the all women's Kona event in October. Let's qualify together. And so we both qualified last year and were able to go. And it was just amazing to train with her all summer. And then to be able to be on the course with her that day was so awesome.
Yeah, that's incredible. And we could do a whole nother episode about, you know, parenting and just that process of going through that. I feel like I already have so many questions, but I do want to stay on topic and just mention something here that you referenced there, that through that process and through that initial growth with the Ironmans to make those tough decisions to help you level up, you know, going through those different coaches, knowing that as your goals and as your dreams started to grow, there was a need for you to level up in all other areas of that support system, that very support system that got you to said level. Maybe you now need to look around that support system and just say, this might be a good time to maybe just move some of these pieces in and out so that I can help me with that consistent leveling up. And what I would love to just now transition back to is the business side, is this work you're now doing with Inventory Genius and how important that is, especially when so much of your mission is about finances. That's never a conversation people really want to jump at. It's a very difficult one, right? And so just with that being said, where on earth do you start with some of those conversations, specifically towards that, you know, that support system and looking at some of those things and saying this could be a good time to move some things out and consider moving some things in?
Yeah. So when people come to me, they typically have one of two questions. So they'll either say, I have a lot of sales, business is, you know, booming, I'm Instagram worthy, you know, my business from the outside looking in is amazing, but where's all my money? Where's all the money? Because there's a lot of sales and I'm not paying myself or I'm not keeping it. I owe on taxes, but I don't have that money in my bank account. Where's the money? Or the second question will be, how did I get into all of this debt, this business debt, and how do I get out of it? So with either of those questions, we really start at the same place. I help them dig into the numbers of their business. Most entrepreneurs are very art-minded, not science-minded. And I can say that for myself as well, even though now I only work in numbers. I am not an accountant or bookkeeper. I'm a visionary and a problem solver. But numbers are just pieces of the puzzle. And so helping them understand, what numbers do we need to focus on? What data are you not looking at? How can we take the data you do have and teach you how to use it? I'll have business owners come to me that are making multi-millions and don't know how to read financials. And they're so embarrassed, right? How did I get to this point where I don't even know what a P&L, I don't know what a balance sheet is. And I don't feel like I should ask that because I should know it. And so we just demystify that. It's fine. It's totally fine. Like, you're an amazing salesperson. You know how to buy, you know how to market. you don't know how to read your financials, but we can figure that out. And so we just dig in step by step and start to look at what the key numbers are in their business. And then how do we take those numbers and plan for profitability, paying off debt, and taking a paycheck?
Yeah, it's fascinating to think that I notice it in my executive coaching board all the time, is that it truly is surprising that folks are so uncomfortable presenting certain information that if they had been willing to present it maybe significantly sooner, they wouldn't be in the situation that they're in.
Yeah.
And it's this, it's an ego versus humility thing. And I get it. I truly understand it. It's why I love having these conversations on a public platform like this, because my hope is that you coming on a show like mine and saying something like this, hopefully a light bulb just went off in someone who's listening right now. And they're just like, you know what? I get it, Sierra. I'm hearing you. It's time that I actually need to have
it's
a conversation about this. And I'm curious, when you're met with that, you know, difficult conversation and someone's presenting this information now for the first time, how are you helping them see maybe the severity while also managing the fact that, hey, I don't want this individual to sort of feel as though we're freaking out, we're out of control or anything like that. You know, finding that balance of, you know, saying what needs to be said, but also coming with that coaching approach at the same time.
Yeah, I think a big part of why I'm able to do that is because I've lived it. I know what it's like to write the paycheck. In fact, at one point in my entrepreneurial journey, my husband's salary would get deposited so that we could write the paycheck in my business for my team. You know, now I look back, I'm like, well, that was silly. But that's what we were doing. And that's what many entrepreneurs are doing. I know what it's like to wake up at midnight and say, oh my goodness, did the deposits hit because rent's coming out today and my checks are going to bounce. I also know what it feels like to win, to get on the other side of it and have money and pay myself and find financial freedom. And that's really important. You have to have someone on your team that has been there and done that and that has that empathy. And I truly do. And so when, you know, I'll give you an example. I had a gal who was looking to start with me. So we did a consult call and she said, I've never told anyone what I'm telling you today. My husband doesn't even know. And she laid out all of her debt. She laid it all out and she was tearing up and she said, will you take me? And I said, absolutely. Give me a mess. We can fix it. Right. If you listen to what I tell you, it's going to be really hard work and it's not going to be fixed overnight. But if you'll stick with me and you'll do the work, I will absolutely help you. And so I think it's just letting them know they're not alone. You might feel like you're the only person that doesn't know how to read a balance sheet, but let me tell you, there are hundreds of thousands who don't. And some of them are making great money. So you're not alone. You're not alone in getting to a spot where you have so much debt and your house is leveraged and you have all these secrets. You're not alone in that. But because you're not alone, I also know that you're not going to be the only person who's not going to succeed. Like there is work we can do. We can find the pieces of the puzzle. And I think just giving people that hope is huge. It's that relief of like, okay, finally I said it out loud, you know, finally there's somebody who knows and someone who has been there and can understand.
I love that you were able to identify that word hope in that, because that is mainly, I feel, at least just speaking from experience and opinion, you know, when we do hit those adversities and we feel as though there's nothing we can do to overcome it, it's because we are lacking exactly that. We, for whatever reason, no matter where we look, we can't grasp onto some form of hope. We're just sort of, you know, just sitting and waiting,
stuck.
And worrying, exactly stuck. And to be able to just have an initial consultation and just look at someone and provide them that very source that maybe they've not felt they've had for weeks, months, maybe even years. Oh, you're actually presenting hope for the first time. And again, I'm seeing all these mirroring qualities between so many of your stories, whether it be in that world of Ironman, whether it be in that personal side, whether it be in this professional entrepreneurial space. At some point, there was an ability to create hope and to say, like, this is where we're going. This is where we're going and this is where we can go. And I don't know whether you're hearing this for the first time or for the first time in a long time, but I'm here to provide you this version of hope that maybe you've not felt in some time. I have to imagine it's just, I mean, I can speak from my own experience, but it must feel just very empowering for you and just very, you know, just energizing, I guess, for you just to be that kind of source in people's lives.
It absolutely is. And especially when it comes to dealing with money, there's just so much of a heaviness that gets taken around in life by entrepreneurs that no one shares in, and they feel like they're so alone in that heavy. I know what that feels like. Like, oh my goodness, I'm so trapped in my business. What am I going to do? Like, I can't close because I have all these, like, I know what that feels like. And there's so many entrepreneurs, and now with social media, that are going around with that while at the same time posting awesome pictures, and everyone's like, business must be going great. And look at, you know, and they're feeling like they're living this double life. And so to be able to come in and say, let's untangle this, we can absolutely sort it out and clean this mess up. And then when I see them on the other side of that, it's just, it's so exciting to me. And it doesn't matter if they're, you know, making 500,000 a year or 5 million a year, that feeling that we can give them of financial freedom and just, yeah, I can build again. I can breathe again. I can live life and do business the way I want to do it. I absolutely love it. It's so exciting.
It is. And so much about what we've discussed here, Sierra, I can't help it. This word mission comes to mind. I don't know why. I'm a person of words, and I'll just be in conversation like this for 30 minutes and a word just pops in. And you sound like a woman on a mission in so many different ways. And we've not even touched on some of the work you've done with the Chamber of Commerce before and some of those other missions that I mentioned within the introduction. How does that word resonate with you? Like, do you feel as though you are an individual on a mission across all these different parts of your life?
Yeah, it's funny. No one's ever said that to me, but absolutely. I mean, I would. I keep telling my team, there's so many people I need to help. Like, how do I help all these people? There's so many people, you know, if they'll listen and talk about it, like, I want to help them. It's an urgency I have. I think business is getting more and more expensive to run. The world is getting so intense. Like, we're just getting information from everywhere, and we're getting told that things won't work and they will work. And there's just so much overwhelm. And so I just have this urgency to help people, in fancy terms, clean up their balance sheet. Like, my profit strategist, fractional CFO, when I finally found him, I wish I would have had him from the beginning, but when I finally found him, and he was my Sierra, if you will, he's the one who gave me hope and cleaned up my mess. He told me, Sierra, a business with a strong balance sheet can weather any storm, any economic storm. And that means little debt, lots of cash, right? And so I am on that mission, like you said, with an urgency to help business owners. We don't have the luxury of waiting anymore. You don't have the luxury of just saying, I'll mess with it later. I'm going to bury my head in the sand. I'll just sell more stuff. Like, you just don't. We've got to fix it. And so, yes, there's a lot of urgency there.
Love it. Well, I'm glad I could give you a new word. You need to start using that word.
Yes,
your story,
I do.
Your story speaks to it in abundance. And so for me, I just really appreciate the fact you've been able to share that, all of these different parts of your world with us today. And one thing I have to ask before I let you go is that you've got all these different areas that you could probably assess, you know, a win and a loss, or a success and a failure on any given day. How on earth do you, at the end of a day, actually just say, hey, based on what I did today, I can put this one in the win column, or not necessarily in the win column? Like, what does a win look like for you on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, that is another fantastic question. I think for me, it's at the end of the day, was I a good steward with what I was given? So whether it was my time, a client, relationship with my husband or my kids, I've been given things in life. Was I a good steward of that today, or did I waste it? And if I feel like I was a good steward, so I did my very best to do my very best, great. We won today. Tomorrow's a new day. I'll try again.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Absolutely great response. And again, this notion of just, I mean, I don't know how no one's ever said to you, you're a woman on a mission. I'm honestly stunned that I'm the first person saying
maybe
that.
Maybe I
to
should
you,
put that on my
even,
website.
Well, even in that response right there, so much is like saying, like, hey, listen, if we're going to make today a success, then we better, with what we get handed, we better do something with it, is really what I'm hearing right there. And that is such an important piece of insight for anyone on the way out of this episode, is what would it look like for you just to simply, instead of trying to make all these new things and create all these new, what if you just crushed everything you were actually just given? Like, and we get given so much on a plate every day. You said it yourself, your relationship with those closest to you, whatever's going on within your world, your job, your business, your exercise life, your health, all these things. We get given so much stuff throughout our day. What if we just knocked that out the park? And as we got better at that, maybe we can start to consider one or two new things to bring in. But until then, to what I'm hearing, The Sierra way is just to simply keep knocking out the park, what it is you get handed on a day-to-day basis. And if you're doing that, why wouldn't you put that in the win column? So absolutely. I absolutely love all that. Love all of that. And Sierra, I could talk to you for a lot longer than this 30, 35 minutes that I keep the podcast to, but anyone listening to this will be taking away so many nuggets. But if there's anything else that they maybe want to learn about you, where might be some good places to go for that?
Yeah. So they can find out all about me at my website, sierrastockland.com. And then if they want to follow the Ironman journey of Bella and myself, we have an Instagram that's pretty fun. It's at two gens try, T-W-O, like generations try, T-R-I. And that's fun. We share our stories, what we're training for, the family, what we've all got going on. So that's just a fun place to hang out with me too.
I'm literally going on Instagram right now. You have a new follower on
Yay, two gens, new follower.
No doubt. Sierra, again, like I said, could talk to you all day. This wonderful content. I really appreciate your time. Best of luck with anything and everything going on in your world the rest of the way. And yeah, look forward to keeping in touch, hopefully.
Thanks for having me. It was great.
And my thanks again to Sierra for joining us. And my final thought on this episode has to be Sierra's response to my final question there in regards to how she shared the importance of being a good steward of what you are given. Make your day a little bit simpler, folks. Instead of trying to take on all these new ideas and new conquests each and every day, why not simply look at what the day is throwing at you and try to answer the call? That simple. Sometimes we try to make things way too complex and way too difficult on ourselves when really there's elements of simplicity that we're missing that we could simply be successful at. So why not start there? Take this great insight courtesy of Sierra and obviously the many other insights that she was able to provide throughout this conversation. And in the meantime, listen, if this is your first time listening to the show, I would love for you to take the time to subscribe and to maybe share this content with at least one person within your world who you know would benefit from all of these fantastic insights within our conversation here today. And finally, as I mentioned, as always on the front end of every episode, make sure you are signing up for my monthly email subscription service, part of the mid-monthly message that so many career competitors around the world are benefiting from right now as this community now moves into the thousands of people. I love producing this content and helping you shift that mindset in the middle of the month when you need it most to finish what you started. So whether it be subscribing to the show, subscribing to the newsletter, so much career competitor content for you to be following. And in the meantime, folks, as always, best of luck with anything and everything you've got going on within your world. And I look forward to doing this again with you very soon. Bye for now.